Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Today, they named Mr. Basketball 2022. And they gave us some exclusivity to it, which I appreciate. And the winner of this year's award joins us right now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. His name is Braden Carrington. And he is a player, man. He led Park Center to the state championship last week. He will play for the Gophers next year. And he's had some kind of a week to win Mr. Basketball and a state championship in the same week, but it's been some kind of a season, some kind of a team that he played on for Coach James Ware. Braden, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I watched you against Minneapolis North in that George Floyd Classic, and that was a fun night because it was a big crowd and there was a lot going on, and North was good, yeah. And you guys were good, and this first time I'd seen in a game, I'd seen in practice, et cetera, before. One of the things that I noticed, and then I, you know, came to find out that, well, yeah, everybody knows that about him. You kind of insert yourself where needed on a nightly basis, as opposed to saying, I'm going to score 25 or I'm going to take over. I need to get my 15 shots up, anything like that. You kind of recognize what it is the team needs, and it was, I think, somewhat rewarding for you and others to see that was noticed, that it wasn't about stats, it was about understanding the game and how to play the game. And would you describe your approach that way?
Yeah, we have right now, we have a bunch of people that can score the basketball. So, you know, it's like, for me, if I have to go out and score 20, then I'll go out and score the 20. But I try to be a pass-first player most of the time, you know, because I know we have other players like Leo Tolbert, Cody Vandenberger that can come out and give us 20 points a game. So, I mean, I feel like I just want to do what's best for the team, and if that's me passing the ball, that's me passing. If that's me shooting, then that's me shooting, you know.
When did you know you were a pretty good basketball player? Were you in 6th grade, 7th grade, 10th grade? When?
I'd say I feel like I've always been pretty good growing up. I got my first offer freshman year, and I guess that's kind of when I realized, like, maybe I could really take this serious and I could go somewhere with this.
So who was the first offer from?
Florida.
Really? And you've ended up, though, at the University of Minnesota. Tell me about that. What did Ben Johnson do to woo you?
He did a lot, you know, because before Ben got there, Minnesota honestly wasn't even on my radar, I'd say. You know, I was leaning towards Florida or Colorado more likely. But once Ben got into the office, you know, he really just showed love. And, you know, he kept talking to me about what would happen if I came, you know, and all the opportunities I would have just by being a Gopher. You know, it won me over, and it won my mom over also. So, you know, he just pitched a great idea, and, you know, I just couldn't pass up on it.
Braden Carrington is our guest, Mr. Basketball from Park Center High School. One basketball aficionado that I have great deal of respect for, Terry Coons, he said he could see you playing the point next year for the Gophers. Is that in the cards at all? Do you want to be a point guard?
I wouldn't mind it, honestly. You know, my natural position, I feel like, is definitely a two-guard, shooting guard. But, I mean, if I have to transition my game next level to point guard, you know, I'm definitely willing to do it. It's whatever, you know, the team needs, I'll do, you know. So I have the confidence to do it. So if that's what happens, that's what happens.
You know, you got quite an education the last couple of years. You and I talked about this earlier this winter. When George Floyd happened, the riots, the protests, everything that went with it, you went out there with some teammates and you protested and you got a look at what was really going on in the city. What were your impressions? What did you do and what did you learn during that time?
I just learned that there's a lot of people that hate and there's a lot of people that will love you, you know. You're always going to get those people that are going to sit there and constantly come down on you for whatever reason and, you know, be against you and just all this and that. But you're also going to have those people that are going to be by your side the whole time and make sure you're doing okay and wanting you to succeed. I've learned that most of the time you're really never alone, even though you could possibly think that, but you're never going to be alone in any type of situation. You always have people behind you.
Did you and your teammates and classmates talk a lot about it, about that movement and what happened and what came of it?
You know, it was during quarantine, so at the time, we didn't get to do that much. I was just thankful to get out there and actually, because I feel like that was kind of the time I was just getting out of quarantine and, you know, my mom finally let me go outside, so, you know.
Yeah,
so I mean, like, but you know, I was thankful to get out there, you know, actually see what it's kind of like, I guess you would say. But you know, I definitely talked about it a lot with like my mom and the people we were out there with, and it was a great experience to have.
It was something, wasn't it? I said it was something to be out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Honestly, for how much people out there, it was shocking. Honestly, I didn't realize how much people. Like, really, I guess you'd say cared, you know? I don't know how to
put it. The passion that they had for it, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Yeah, just me, like, I'm never usually into kind of stuff like this. I kind of just stay, you know, in the sports world,
yeah.
You say. So going out and seeing all this, it was just like, wow, but there's a lot of people in the community that are just, like, devastated by what happened and really care. So, you know, it really changed my point of view, I guess, on some things.
Braden Carrington is our guest. Yeah, you had to be there though to really understand that, and it was. But you had to see it up close to really get that part of it. Now that game the other night was pretty physical with Wayzata. Was that what you expected? Because that was a good basketball game down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, coming to the game, like Coach Ware said, you know, before the game, they're going to come out. They're going to give us all they can give us. You know, they're going to throw every play they can. You know, they're going to be as physical as possible. You know. We knew it was going to come. You know, played them earlier in the season, and they did the same thing then. They gave us everything they got, and you know, we beat them that time, and we thankfully beat them in the state championship when it all mattered.
But you guys play defense, and you play team defense, and you guys know where the other person is, and you see the game well. Is that just repetition? Is that Coach Ware's philosophy? What happens?
Yeah, that's definitely like he basically engraves that into us. You know. Defense, we probably come into practice and in a two-hour practice that could possibly be an hour of our practice is just sitting there working on defense, our positioning, like communication, all the small things on defense, like the rotations, all this and that, you know. So coming to a game and when you see us play defense and how good it is, you know, it's just not surprising for us because this is literally all we work on, you know. I'd say obviously we have the offense and all this, but, you know, our defense is really our identity. You know, that's just all we focus on because, as we always say, our defense is our best offense.
What does Coach Ware mean to you?
You know, he means a lot. You know, he's definitely a big help of my, I'd say, transformation over the years. Obviously, my mom, you know, moving me out to Brooklyn Park so I could go to.
Yeah, where were you before that?
I lived in Spring Lake Park.
Yep. And you moved over to Brooklyn Park into the Park Center School District, huh?
Yep. Yeah, my seventh grade year, I moved over here so I could go to high school at Park Center and play under Coach Ware. And, you know, he just had the best interest in me ever since he met me, honestly. He could see potential in me, you know, I never thought I had, honestly. And, you know, throughout the 4 years of high school, it was just great because, you know, he helped me develop in the player and just gain confidence that I honestly didn't know I had, you know. Because without him, he's a big part of why I'm here today and, you know, able to win Mr. Basketball, I'd say.
Yeah, and a lot of guys had great success for you guys this year. Well, Braden, congratulations. Thank you so much. I look forward to covering you at the University of Minnesota, but enjoy.
Thank you.
Braden Carrington, 2022 Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota. The man who helps put that all together is David Hedberg. We'll ask him about the Final Five and what he thought of basketball in general in the state of Minnesota when we come back on Sports to the Max. Timberwolves back in action tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. They tip it off with Toronto, 5:30 pregame right here on your home to the Wolves. News Talk 830 WCCO, then a big one with Denver Friday night. Right here on your home to the Wolves. News Talk 830 WCCO. We heard from Braden Carrington, 2022 Mr. Basketball. We're joined now by the man who helps make that decision and organizes it. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, David Hedberg. He was out there today to present him with the award. It's quite a process they go through to whittle it down to 20 and 15 and 5 and all those things. Dave, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me.
How you got this committee. Explain how many games you guys see by the end of the year in total.
Yeah, so we've got 9 people on our committee, and probably the average person sees between 40 and 60 games. Mm. So we try and, you know, divide up. Obviously, some games we've got multiple people at, but, you know, we try and catch as many as we can throughout the year. I saw about 70 this year. Some people saw over 100, but I'd say probably 40 to 50 is the average.
Now, just forgetting who was playing, what in terms of the players you're watching, what was the best game you saw in terms of huge crowd, great finish? What was it?
Well, probably the best game was Caledonia played at Ticino Grace later in January. And it was kind of fun with Eli and Demarion Watson, two kids going to Iowa State, played against each other. And Eli hit a shot with like 6 seconds to go and Caledonia won. So that was probably the most exciting game that I remember. But we definitely saw some good ones this year.
How do you pare it down once you presented the award, as I mentioned to Braden today, and I mentioned that statistically some nights he doesn't look overwhelming, but you kind of have to see him play to understand what he does to change a game. Are those the kind of conversations that you have when you get behind closed doors? Is, you know, forget stats, let's look at some other intangibles?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, stats play a role, but a lot of what we talk about, too, is what each individual does with what they have on their team. Because obviously, you know, some teams are stronger than others from, you know, 1 to 10. So we look at, you know, really how each player conducts themselves, their leadership. You know, like Braden was talking about, I was listening to that, you know, does he defer when he should, taking charge when he should, things like that. Just, you know, if we think they're playing the game to the best of their ability, that's what we're looking for.
How do you decide whether or not they're a good teammate? Do you talk to teammates, coaches? How do you decide?
Let's say with the 9 people on the committee, we've got a lot of background. So people that used to be, you know, professional coaches, professional players, sports writers, referees, high school coaches. So a lot of just talking, you know, from what we see from the player, which is why we want to get out and see so many games. You know, if you see someone once, it could be, you know, their game of the year, or it could be a down game. So we try and see kids as many times as possible, then kind of talk about what we saw and, you know, kind of determine, you know, what we thought of the overall performance for the whole season.
You know, last 2 years, I mean, before the season, barring an injury, you could almost reserve the gym for the week after, the whatever day you wanted to pick at Minnehaha Academy, because you had a pretty good idea it was going to be Jalen Suggs and then and Chet Holmgren, because they'd separated themselves so far. This year, not the case. Who were the 5 final finalists, and how difficult was this year?
So this year was actually really strong. So you talked about kind of our process of going from our watch list, which had 50 people on it, down to the top 10, which was difficult. But the top 5 was very strong and you know, very close in talent this year. You mentioned the last couple of years, you know, we've had some very strong people at the top. But our 5 this year, obviously Braden was one. Alonzo Dodd at South St. Paul had, you know, just incredible years. You know, the team was great, and Alonzo was. Trey Holloman at Creighton-Durham Hall, you know, another player that's, you know, he's going to Michigan State and, you know, had a great year. Prince Oligbe, you know, another Minnehaha Academy student, you know, really played well. And then Eli King at Caledonia. So, you know, really a lot of great talent in the top 5. You know, very, very similar strengths and, you know, abilities there.
Is it harder to pick the one, or is it harder this year to get it down to five? Because there are a lot of kids off that list that are pretty good players.
I would probably say both this year. I mean, we had some, you know, real heated conversations, you know, all good, but, you know, with getting down to five, because there were a few players that, you know, obviously in the top 10 that can't make the top five that some committee members felt very strongly about. And then again, with, you know, selecting Braden, you know, the committee's, you know, excited, you know, that Braden won, and he's, you know, definitely, you know, the consensus choice. But there were other players too that, you know, got a lot of chatter within our committee about, you know, what they're able to do and what they brought to their teams. So definitely an interesting year to, you know, whittle down not only just the winner, but kind of each step in the process.
When, you know, now next year, obviously you see a lot of the guys next year that could be candidates as you go throughout this year. What happens? So is it based just on their senior year? Do you start watching in the summer months? What do you do?
So a lot of us, you know, we will watch, you know, obviously a lot of kids, like you said, we see them, they start playing as freshmen. So if we're watching other seniors, we do see kids throughout their whole careers, and we do see them in the summer, but the Mr. Basketball Award is solely on their performance in the senior season. So anything we see before kind of gets them on our radar. You know, we've got some history, and, you know, we know what to look for with each player. But, you know, each year we do start fresh. So each player starts on a level surface at the first game of the year, and then we start to go from how they're performing as a senior.
So in theory, you could move into town for the first time ever next year as a senior, or you could be coming off an injury that nobody knows about you. You could be anyone. And as long as you put together the best senior year in your mind, you can win Mr. Basketball.
Correct. Yep. So everybody's got a chance that comes in a senior. That's why when people ask, you know, who the candidates are when the season starts, if they're a senior boys basketball player, they're on our radar.
How much help do people give you unsolicited, and how much heat do you get as you go through it? Because it's a tough process.
So a lot of us, you know, a lot of our members like to stay anonymous just to kind of stay out of that, because, you know, we do get a lot of unsolicited feedback either from coaches or parents or players.
And now you know what it's like to be in the media, yep.
So there's definitely some, you know, benefits to being somewhat anonymous when you get to a gym. That's not always the case. You know, people do get, you know, passionate, and that's great. As long as people keep it civil, it's great to hear people excited about their, you know, there's kids, you know, their friends, you know, people in their community. So, you know, we definitely welcome that.
And when you go to a gym and you're watching a game, are you watching a lot of what they do body language wise and other things besides just their stats, or is it just what they do on the court? Or are you watching to see how they behave during a timeout? All those things matter.
It does, because that's part of the, like I talked about before, with the leadership and how they interact with kind of what they have on their team. If they're, you know, being encouraging and, you know, uplifting and trying to help their other player or their teammates, or if they're showing disdain or, you know, things like that, it's not a big part of it, but no, it definitely plays, you know, into what our overall perception is of each person.
Was it fun this year to be able to go out freely and just go to whatever game you wanted instead of all that we've been through?
No question about it. I mean, just getting back, you know, like I mentioned, the Totino game, you know, a lot of games like that, you know, a lot of the gyms in the Metro were full again with, you know, fans cheering, and, you know, a lot of times we still had to wear masks, but, you know, there was, you know, the capacity limits weren't there. So just kind of night and day over the, you know, from last year when pretty much everything, we think last season I saw maybe 8 or 9 games in person, and that was even tough to get in. And most things were online. Whereas this year of the games I saw, maybe 10 or 15 were online and, you know, 55 were in person. So really, really great to get back. And I think the kids like it better too, having all their friends and, you know, the students there and parents and, you know, getting gyms full and getting loud again.
Unbelievable the commitment you guys make to this award. David, thank you so much, and thanks for what you do.
I appreciate it. And thanks for coming out today, Mike, and for your support. We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk soon. David Hedberg, chairman of the Mr. Basketball Committee. And you heard Braden Carrington, the winner of the Mr. Basketball Award. When we come back, another guy, I don't know if he was Mr. Basketball or not, but he could have been. He ended up being a first-round draft pick in the NBA. He'll break down the Timberwolves season, the high school basketball season, the Final Four, whatever we want him to do, because Troy Bell's seen it all. Stay with us on Sports to the Max. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Joining us, the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Holy Angels High School and Boston College, a number one pick in the NBA. No, not that voice here in the background, but Troy Bell is there. And I believe that is the son or daughter of the background that we hear, correct, Troy?
It is. That's my daughter, Gianna. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. What's going on?
Well, you got a chance to spend some time with my man Dave Lee at the state tournament. How much fun was that for you doing some broadcasting and watching all those games?
It was fun, man. Dave Lee's a great guy. Obviously, I've known about him for a number of years, just being a Minnesota kid. But it was great, man. It was great, man. It was cool to kind of connect with basketball in that way.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I've been, like, trading and stuff, but never that, and it was cool.
What'd you think of that Jackson Logie from Morris that night against North when he tried to almost win it by himself?
He did great, man. He did great, man. You know, to be young again, Mike, you know, I miss those days. And, I felt like, I felt like I was out there with the kids. I know it sounds crazy, but it was fun, man. I really enjoyed myself.
Did you make the state tournament in high school?
I did not, man. We kept losing to Ben and Thorson and De La Salle, man.
Oh, they kept clipping you?
Man, they clipped us. Every year they clipped us. They won it twice, and they lost in the championship once.
Yeah, they were just good, weren't they? Yeah. But you've had a lot of basketball experiences. You know what that means to the kids. How did you get recruited by BC and other colleges? Was that summer circuit, or was that based on your high school play?
You know, back then, you know, we weren't getting recruited heavily just out of Minnesota alone. You had to get on the road, and I didn't have any scholarships nobody recruited me based on my high school career at all. Everything that happened good for me happened on the road with Howard Pulley, because after my junior year, I think I averaged about 28 a game. I didn't have an offer.
It wasn't
until we went to Peach Jam. That's when my offers came, because my Jabron Bauer, Nick Jacobson, Travis Kraft, they all went to Nike camp and came out. They did great. So because they did so good at Nike camp, that's what brought the scouts to see us in Peach Jam, and that's when I got noticed.
I see. So they said, if those kids can play, there's some more Minnesotans we want to look at, huh?
Yeah, that's what happened, man. So, I mean, thanks to those guys, because they had all the college coaches front and center at our game based on what they did at Nike camp.
Wow, that's kind of a cool story. Troy, let's talk a little NBA. You've been there. When you see the Timberwolves and this new attitude that goes with being a better team, what do you see? They're chippy. They're not backing down. They got Beverly. They got Towns has decided to take over the team. What do you see from the Timberwolves?
Well, first of all, Mike, it's very exciting. You know, as a longtime Timberwolves fan, I mean, this is amazing, because they've had a lot of talent for a number of years, but you know, I got to credit a lot of it to Pat Bev, man. He, you know, he's a tough player, you know, a fierce competitor, never backs down. And he's a vet. He's a legit vet. They have a very young team, you know, 33. Like, when I was coming up, there would be some older players. But you know, 33 now, you know, that's a pretty old player for today's generation. And he... You know, I feel like he does a good job of connecting with the young fellas. Sometimes you get the older vets, they're not really looking to connect with the young fellas, but that doesn't seem to be Pat Bev's energy, man. And I've been to a few games this year. I love his enthusiasm for the game. We actually share the same agent. One of the agents that I dealt with is Pat Bev's agent now, so I follow him on Instagram, so I see all the stuff that's going on. And you know, I love his attitude. I love what he's brought to the city and to the state, and I love how he's just mentoring the young guys on what it takes to win from an attitude standpoint.
And that attitude is that he just doesn't back down?
I mean, that's what he's given at every team he's been on, you know. And let's be honest, man, he's not the most skilled guy,
right?
Not the highest jumping guy, not the quickest guy. He's just got an endless motor, and he never stops trying. I think, like, when you go to the games and Pat Bev does things, the fans really love it, because, in a way, I think he kind of represents, I'm not going to say the common man.
But to an extent, the grinder, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have those LeBron James gifts. He just goes out there every day, puts on his hard hat, and plays as hard as he can. That's all he does.
Now, if you look at the matchups, you know, Memphis or Golden State are probably, no matter if they have a play-in or they leap and get in the sixth spot over Denver, that would probably be your first-round matchup. Which one would you prefer?
Out of Denver and the Grizzlies?
No, out of if the Wolves will end up in the first round playing either Golden State or Memphis right now.
Oh, Golden State or Memphis. Okay. Golden State or Memphis. I mean, I think both of those matchups are tough. I think they have enough talent, especially if they're shooting the ball well, to win either one of them. But I think they both present challenges. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Steph and the Warriors. I mean, you know, Steph can win a game. I'm not going to say by himself, but if he gets hot, you know what type of action that could be.
Yep.
And then John Morant is one of the most electrifying young talents I think we've ever seen, and he's capable of, you know, just about anything. But I also like what the Wolves bring to the table. I think Towns is showing that he's a real vet now. I like his attitude. He's gotten a lot tougher. He just, even though he's young, you know, he's been in the league for, I think, what, about six, seven years?
Yeah, man,
now.
It's going quick, yeah.
Yeah, it's going quick. I mean, I like the attitude he's bringing, and Edwards, I mean, I love Edwards. His athleticism and his coordination is just off the charts. I think we have the tools to win any of those games. I still think we might be a little young to really make a run, but anything's possible if we get hot.
Now, when you teach kids, especially the guard position, what's the thing that they need to learn first and foremost? Is it ball handling, shooting? Is it footwork? What is it?
You know, I guess for me it would be ball handling, because if you can't handle the ball properly and effectively, you're kind of a victim out there, because you're at the mercy of the defense. If you can't get where you want to go, you know, you're very, very limited. Like, that's why I like a guy like Kyrie.
Yeah.
Just because he's such a wizard. He's such a wizard with the ball. It doesn't matter if he has a shorter guy, a taller guy, a stronger guy. His handle is so tight that at some point or another, he's probably going to wiggle by you enough to score it or get an assist or make the pass that makes the pass
sure.
to get somebody else.
He's going to move your feet, isn't he?
In some kind of way, he's going to get you off balance to attack. And so I would, like with my son, I've had him dribbling with two balls, you know, since he was probably about four. He's eight now, and I think that by the time he gets, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be great or anything. I'm just saying that he will be able to get where he wants to on the court.
And that's because you work on handles all the time.
All the time. Handles and IQ.
Can you make someone that's not quick, quick?
Well, I will say this, Mike. They have so many new workouts. Like, I'm following a whole bunch of workout guys on YouTube and Instagram. And just like the game of basketball is evolving, these trainers, these workout trainers are evolving. They have so many different cool exercises to load certain muscles to make you more athletic. I think if you're willing to put the time in and you're doing the right things for your body. We all have different bodies. We all could be susceptible to different injuries. But if you're doing the right stuff for your body, I think that everyone can make strides. But, you know, who's to say how far a person can actually take it? One thing I try not to do, Mike, is count people out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if someone really has an iron will to try to achieve something in their life, I mean, I'm going to bet on the person that's going to really work their butt off.
Yeah, absolutely. Final four, you got the Blue Bloods, as they say, North Carolina and Duke. Kansas sitting over there. Boy, do they play well over the weekend. Who do you like as you watch this weekend?
Man, well, you know, I'm kind of biased, Mike, because I'm a Big East guy. So,
Yep. You
know, I like Villanova.
Villanova, yep.
But I think I'm more leading with my heart. These aren't facts. I'm more leading with my heart. I love Villanova. And you know, this is Coach K's last go-round, man. I'm a fan of Carolina and Duke, like, you know, most basketball fans are. But, you know, I guess I would like to see Duke get past Carolina to see him in the championship. But then I'm 50-50 because I like the Villanova Big East, and I really like Coach K. So, you know, I don't have a dog in the race, but if those two teams can make it to the championship, I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, was Nova a tough place to play at? Do they have a tough arena?
You know what, man? They were. But I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. Villanova and Jay Wright, Jay Wright's an amazing coach, first of all. And he's one of the best dressed coaches in college basketball.
Yeah, now they got him wearing sweats some games, too, though. It's not fair.
All those great suits
in the closet? Come on.
I know, man. Jay Wright was killing them with the suit.
That was tight.
I don't know, man. I know, man. But, you know, man, Villanova, it was tough, but But I want to say that I probably averaged in my career against Jay Wright about 30 a game.
Really?
Yeah, I'm. If not 30, like 29.
Wow.
And I don't think. I would be willing to say, Mike, what this is not like documented because I haven't researched it.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to bet that any player that played against a Jay Wright team six times is not averaging anywhere near what I was averaging. And I think they only lost once to Jay Wright
What did they try to do to you that they couldn't slow you down? I mean,
I don't know. It just wasn't working, man. Because my sophomore year we beat them twice.
Yep.
My junior year we beat them. We beat them twice, and in my senior year, we lost to them at Villanova. But so yeah, I think Coach Skinner and I and the fellas are like 5-1 against Jay Wright and Villanova.
Take that to the bank. And what'd you think of Paige Beckers?
Oh man, you know she's an amazing talent. You know, I'm really happy that she's bouncing back from that injury because you know those injuries can be tough. But you know, now that's somebody. When I think of an iron will, you know, I think of a player like her. You know, and I wish her well. I hope that she can just stay healthy because that's all she needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She has all the skills.
Yeah, ain't nobody going to stop her except herself, right?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I mean, she's a special talent.
Troy Bell, I appreciate it very much. Can we call you again when we get in the NBA playoffs?
Oh, man, you know, Mike, whenever you need me, man, I got you.
Appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too. Troy Bell, nice enough to join us, give us some insights. When we come back, Chris Tubbs will give us his insights into what he's seen in this city and what he believes about this spring and why he is eternally optimistic. Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Timberwolves tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip-off. Tomorrow at noon, Twins in Pittsburgh. Is that one on our air tomorrow, Tubbs? Yeah, I lose track of which games are on and not.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Is it on CC Radio?
I think so, yeah.
We don't do them all, so it's kind of hard to keep up with sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And I know there are, you know, I've seen there are some people that are kind of upset that, you know, I think like today's game was not. And it's like, well, you can't carry everything because there is such a limited availability for spring training. And, I mean, you have to balance that with regular programming because once we get into the regular season, I mean, we're going to get, I mean, we got, you know, regular season, then we get the playoffs, then we get the championship series, then we get the World Series. I mean, so we got baseball going all the way through November here.
Yeah, we figured Twins will be in all those, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, are you kidding?
Given, right?
This is going to be,
so
you
pacing
know,
ourselves.
I mean, this
say.
Is Parade Central USA, Maxie. Yeah. I mean, we got the Wolves that are going to, we got
Wild,
the Wild right
Wild
now that are
killing it tonight. Yeah.
They're whooping up in that Philly.
Go for hockey's in the Frozen Four.
I know,
Minnesota
right?
State Mankato's in the Frozen Four. They're part of us, too.
I know. Yeah. I mean, Mankato's a part of the state, absolutely.
Darn right. Part of our listening audience, too.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although I did like it, though, Maxie, when it was the old NCC. I got to admit, I'm not a big. I know the Northern Sun's kind of a thing, you know, and like.
Yeah, but hockey's different because that's NCHC. It's not even either one, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's just, you know, I still kind of go back to the old WCHA. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
see
just,
what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of an old fuddy duddy that way.
I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. You know what I'm saying?
I think by saying fuddy duddy, I think that pretty much makes me a fuddy duddy.
There's a lot of fuddy duddies out there that agree with you, though.
Well, we can be fuddy buddy. We can be fuddy duddy buddies.
Bring in North Dakota and Mankato and St. Cloud and go there every year and everybody's happy, you know?
Let's go. Yeah, absolutely, man. I loved it.
Yeah. Who do you think is the best matchup for the Wolves in the playoffs?
I'm okay with I'm okay with Memphis.
Just because they haven't been there enough?
Well, I think Steph, Ja Morant's a superstar.
Oof.
But Steph Curry is like a megastar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think Troy, he made the point that, you know, Steph can win a game by himself. When he's on, I mean, there's nobody better. I mean, he's the best.
Plus, you don't know. If by the time they get there, you know, if Klay Thompson's healthy enough and Draymond Green is back in good shape, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, they have not had their full ensemble their big three.
And you get the sense that they're pacing themselves, getting ready for the playoffs and trying to set that up.
I mean, that's all it is for them. I mean, you know, Steve Kerr's not a dumb man. Steve Kerr's a phenomenal coach. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing and I would like to see the matchup. I think the matchup against Memphis would be outstanding.
Tyus Jones, throw him in there?
Yeah, absolutely. And think about it though, Maxie. We're talking about playoff matchups for the Wolves.
I know we are.
Think about that. That's where we're at. You know.
Wow.
And then Troy saying, you know, the Wolves have as much talent that, you know, they could beat either one of them. I was just like, it's just so weird for me to hear that and not think it's such an absurd statement.
Yeah.
To think that you can look at this team and be like, yeah. I mean, yeah. If Cat's rolling, D'Lo
and best of seven, I really don't like him against any of those matchups. Mm-hmm. But the point being, on a given night, for sure.
I mean, I think we've seen that. I kind of like to see the inconsistencies over the last couple of games with this team. You know, kind of not getting it done against Dallas. Then you see what Phoenix did in that fourth quarter. I like the Wolves being in that situation.
I do too, because they're learning, aren't they?
Yeah,
absolutely. You want to mouth off to Phoenix? They don't even have Chris Paul on the floor.
Yeah.
You want to mouth off to him, get chip you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now try catching us in the fourth quarter, because this is what it looks like, fellas, if you want to play the big boys.
And I
thought the exact same thing. I thought, okay, now you know. Now you know what it looks like in the fourth quarter when you're playing one of these teams.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a great.
I do too.
That's a great litmus test for them, because it's like, yeah, I mean, you've gone on these, you know, you've had several nice winning streaks this year. And,
yep.
And I mean, the fact that you've already hit the over, you know, the Vegas over for the year, and there's a lot of optimism. I mean, that bandwagon's full. And I really enjoy the fact that we're looking at this and saying the Wolves can really learn from that. And I hope that they do. I was telling H. Lake, as he's getting ready for his show here, that I vastly underestimated the influence of Patrick Beverley this year.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about with Troy Bell, yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
He kind of gives them permission to be a badass, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't have to take that from them. Yeah, you know, what are you doing? You don't let him push you like that. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, you hate him when he's not on your team, because
yeah,
you think he's just a gigantic pain in the ass, but then when he's on your team, you're like, I like this. I liked it, you know. I gotta
give Gerson credit for that one. He made that deal. And by the way, he was in town the other night scouting for somebody, I guess.
But, yeah, he flipped. Didn't he flip Wancho and
Daniel Turo was in there somehow too.
Jared trade, Culver yeah. for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of moves and boom, boom, boom. You know.
So yeah.
I got to give him. You know, I wasn't a big fan of Gerson's, and still not. But I got to give him credit for a couple of things that he did there. Who do you like in the men's Final Four?
I begrudgingly like Duke.
Yeah.
And it
we kind of owe that to him, don't we?
It makes me nauseous.
I mean, we
when I say
do,
that.
Though. We kind of got to tip our hat no matter where you stand, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's
all
just
he's done for the game, you know.
It's the storybook ending, you know, the scrappy underdog from Duke and the, you know, the head coach goes out on top, yada yada yada. I mean, it didn't make me want to vomit.
But how about that they're playing North Carolina in the semifinals?
North Carolina
was on the brink of one of the all-time disasters in that Baylor game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
25-point lead disappears in the second half. That would have been the game of the tournament that everybody talked about. They held on and kind of got their breath back.
I you know, I guess Duke and Carolina, it's the greatest rivalry in the history of rivalries, apparently.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're, hey, this is the greatest rivalry ever.
Okay, yes.
Well, how about Yankees, Red Sox? Anyway, I'm with you on that. All right, buddy, we'll talk soon.
See you, Maxie.
That's Chris Tubbs, the Lake Man, coming up next on WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.